Siobhan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks so much for joining me. Now, through your research, what are the major ways in which you've found lack of sleep does affect our health?
So it's actually quite across quite a number of different things. So obviously, as you mentioned, people can feel the effects of sleep deprivation. They can feel tired and sleepy, maybe reaching for one too many coffees in the morning. And memory gets affected quite a bit. So, you know, forgetting where you've put your keys or what you were supposed to be doing. And people find their mood is affected. So they can feel a bit more grumpy, a bit more short-tempered with everybody, and sort of feel like that everything is a bit overwhelming. But what we've found more recently is that your actual physiological health is also affected. So your ability to metabolize food appropriately. We see that people who sleep less have difficulty losing weight and tend to weigh more. And we see that overall, sleep deprivation tends to kind of put your body into a state of stress. So your body feels like it needs to protect itself. And so none of those systems are operating as well as they should. And so we see that your body is more prone to developing various different chronic diseases like cardiovascular disease, obesity, and diabetes.
It's bigger than you would ever expect, I suppose, really. It's dramatic and it's terrifying just how much of a difference to your health that a good night's sleep can make. With this new report, one of the big things highlighted was lost productivity at work. Now, it seems almost self-evident after all of that stuff you just said, but can you go into a little bit just how much lack of sleep can affect your productivity and why it is taking such a big economic blow?
I think it's because, you know, at work, you know, not only is our sort of performance affected, kind of just in general, but it's that real feeling of lethargy, like you can't, you know, your motivation's affected or having to do things twice, you know. So you do it once, did I do it right? Got to go back and check. Sometimes you find mistakes. So it's sort of across a number of different areas in sort of your general performance at work and then, you know, showing up to work sick. So it's that sort of thing of I'm at work, but I'm actually not really doing any work because I just don't feel like I can. So it's across a number of different areas that your general productivity and your ability to work well can be affected.
With all of that in mind, what is it about the lifestyle of Australians that is causing nearly 40% of us to be sleep deprived and is having these massive effects on our productivity and health?
Look, I think we're just really busy, you know, and people are squishing sleep into a smaller and smaller part of their lives. You know, we work long hours, there's a lot of commuting that goes on, so people often have to get up earlier in order to get to work time, which of course cuts into their sleep. We know that new parents are really suffering with trying to work and also look after kids, you know. And also there's, you know, various different sleep disorders that we're becoming more aware of, things like sleep apnea and insomnia that can affect people. So some of it is lifestyle and some of it is due to medical conditions. But really, I think what we need to try and do is prioritise sleep. So realise that going to bed early is actually a wondrous thing and something that we should really applaud and make sure that, you know, workplaces, for example, really make sure that people are sleeping well and don't expect people to be answering emails at, you know, 12 o'clock at night.
If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're currently speaking with Dr. Siobhan Banks, Associate Professor in the Centre for Sleep Research at the University of South Australia. We're having a chat about a new report which has shown that a lack of sleep is costing the Australian economy over $66 billion. Now, Siobhan, there's been growing awareness about the effects of sleep deprivation over the past few years, and it seems to be consistently that we're being told that we should be getting more sleep. But now that we're seeing economic effects and, you know, it's costing us some mighty dollars, do you think that now that there's been a dollar figure put on the cost of sleep deprivation, do you think that, to be, I suppose, a grim realist in the capitalist Australia, do you think that this could potentially raise more awareness or spur more action?
I really hope so, because I think sometimes companies don't realise, or government doesn't sort of realise how important the problem is until you put a dollar figure to it. And the other thing that I think is great is once we start to put money on these kinds of things, we can realise that when we make interventions, when people do sleep more, that we can reduce those costs. And if a workforce is really well rested and performing at their optimum level, maybe we can even increase the level of money that companies earn because they have that workforce that is just performing at the top of their game.
Well, you do hear about some sort of, new age business models, I suppose, which do allow for more rest time, things like 4-day weeks for employees and 3-day weekends. Do you think that coming into the next few years, we're going to see more of those sorts of business models coming into play? And how effective are they?
Very possibly. I think the thing, though, is that people still need to then be educated about the importance of sleep. Because the real worrying thing is that people might say, now I've got 3 days off, I could do another job. I could earn money doing something else, or taking on too much other kinds of bits and pieces in their life, which might then impact on their sleep. So I think those kinds of workplaces that are thinking of restructuring work or providing better kind of wellness programs also need to make sure that their workforce is taking it, almost like the company takes care of what the worker does in their outside hours as well a little bit, in the sense of educating them about how to take care of themselves in that downtime, actually how to allow downtime, so that we do still get good rest and we don't, fill our time with other things because we have more time off work.
Yeah, right. This is something extra to worry about with that all, I suppose. And it's not just an easy fix. No, well, when it comes to all of that, I find that with myself, no matter how much sleep I get, I always seem to be tired. And I'll try and catch up on nights of poor sleep with an afternoon nap. But nothing seems to get rid of the purple bags under my eyes. When it comes to getting good sleep, what factors are involved other than just the hour figure that you're sleeping, and what sort of things should people be doing to try and get the best possible rest?
Well, you've hit on a really important thing. People do focus on just sort of the hours that they're in bed, but it really is about the quality of sleep as well. So one thing we would recommend is that your bedroom be a nice, cool, dark and quiet place. We need the sort of ambient temperature to be relatively cool to sleep well. So make sure you have a fan or something like that if the evening's going to be warm. Or if it's too cold, make sure you have enough bedding. For this time of year, it's probably something more to be thinking about. Make sure you have blinds, block out any street lights, or if you're having to sleep during the day, if you're a shift worker, make sure you're not getting too much sunlight into your room. Some people wear eye patches to make sure that they have those little eye masks to block out light, and that it's quiet. So some people wear earplugs or just make sure that their room is nice and quiet with double glazing or something like that on the window. The other thing is to kind of realise is that we're biologically meant to sleep at night. So when you sleep during the day, whether it be a little nap or trying to sleep during the day as a shift worker, your sleep will never be as quiet, as restful as at night. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, we can catch up with little naps, but the problem is with naps is that very often it'll make it a little bit harder for you to go to sleep at night. So the best thing really to try and do is power through the day, unless you're exceptionally tired, power through the day and just go to bed a little bit earlier. That's the more important thing. Keep your wake time consistent and just go to bed a little bit earlier. That's the best way to catch up.
So we need to be giving up on these new age polyphasic sleep schedules and just going for the good 8 hours in the evening.
Absolutely. The polyphasic sleep is not a good way to go. Getting a nap every couple of hours will not keep you going for longer than probably a day or so. So there are things, we can do in particular kinds of emergency situations. We know that there are emergency workers who have to keep going over, many hours, if it's a bushfire or some other kind of emergency. And there's things that we can do to help them augment their performance with naps and caffeine and that kind of thing. But for a regular person on a regular day, if you're wanting to catch up, go to bed earlier.
Siobhan, thanks so much for joining me this morning. And with the dollar figure on all of this sleep stuff, maybe hopefully people will start to pay a little bit more attention now.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.